Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
And welcome back to this Monday edition of AFA Today. And it's Fred Jackson, Abraham Hamilton, sitting in for Tim Wildman and Ed Vitagliano, who are enjoying this week at the Cove. And they will be witness to some great speakers, some good preaching. And I'm sure they're going to come back and tell us all about it as soon as they get back. So it's the B team, Abe. We're the B team.
That's all right.
We're filling in today, but having a great time. First hour today, Miracle Monday, just enjoyed and blessed by hearing your miracles. And not a lot going on in the news today, Ed, or Abe. I keep calling you. I keep looking over there, and that's where Ed sits. You have to move over there, Abe.
Yeah.
Then I'll know who you are. But the next big event in the election cycle is the vice president debate tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Fox was doing a kind of a funny thing this morning. They were doing streeters, asking people if they could name the individuals who are on the ticket as vice president. And I think it like was almost 40 or 50% could not name the Democrat, Tim Kaine, and could not name the Republican governor, Mike Pence, as the vice presidential candidates. So I'm going to make a prediction. I'm not a political prophet or anything, but I'm going to predict, unlike the audience for the first debate, between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, which was around 89 million, they said, around the world. I don't think it's going to make it tomorrow.
I don't think so. I think they probably knew that, which is why they didn't put it on a Monday to compete with Monday Night Football.
But we'll be listening. A lot of people have been impressed, whether you're Republican or Democrat, with the with Governor Mike Pence. They really have. He's just a quality guy. And not afraid to go out there and take a stand on the major issues. So it will be interesting to see.
I think some people on both sides of the aisles would love to see Mike Pence at the top of the ticket.
That's been talked about also. And there'll be some people maybe looking 4 years down the road. Maybe, you know, there's that kind of talk that's out there this morning. But anyway, that debate is on tomorrow night, and they are – unlike Donald Trump, Republican Mike Pence has said he has been practicing. He has been practicing. And his stand-in for the Democrat, Mr. Kaine, his stand-in has been Governor Walker of Wisconsin.
Ah.
So Governor Walker has been playing the role of Tim Kaine. And so interesting, very interesting, two governor friends there. And so we'll see what happens tomorrow night during the vice presidential debate. Well, just before the news, I made the incredible declaration, Abe, that there's a difference between boys and girls. But you know what? Our culture has been fighting that.
Aggressively.
Aggressively. And moms and dads, particularly moms and dads who have boys, are very much aware of that. Another gentleman who is very much aware of that and has been writing about it is Dr. Greg Jantz. He's a certified eating disorder specialist, certified chemical dependency counselor, and a national certified psychologist and licensed mental health counselor. Dr. Greg Jantz, welcome back to Today's Issues.
Good to be with you today on boys. My goodness.
Now, you say that boys and men in our culture are in trouble. Explain that for us.
Well, there's a lot of things going on these days for boys that at first glance causes some alarm. For example, upwards to 90%+ of our D's and F's and the majority of discipline issues go to our boys in schools. So that alone tells us, my goodness, we've got a problem. Boys are not doing good, I'm making a general statement, in school. The other issue that we got to look at is boys in our culture. Boys don't know, when do I become a man? What is a man? You know, and I remember asking my youngest son. He says, "Well, Dad, I think it's when I get my driver's license." So there's a lot of confusion around this.
All right, let's unpackage this a little bit, and let's go to our education system. And tell us a little bit more. Your thesis that's out there is that the boys are not doing well in school. They're making the lower grades. Now, it's been a long time, I'll admit, since I have been in school, but it was kind of equal between the boys and the girls. But you're saying the trend has been. So what has happened in the classroom that's causing this disparity?
Well, one of the things that's happening in the classroom is, and I'm making some general statements, that our classrooms have been geared, girls are having greater success than boys. And so we're just looking at how do boys learn, how's classroom set up. And, by and large, we have incredible, wonderful teachers. And those that I talk to, are frustrated, and we can joke about boys. But the question is, what do we do to help them? And this is where I've come alongside and worked with Michael Guerin and the Guerin Institute, which is going into schools and changing some things to help boys be successful based on, well, what does the science show about a boy's brain? How's biology fit in this? Because we know boys and girls are different.
Dr. Jance, this is Abe here. And in the materials, you make this statement. It says, part of the decline has to do with a society that finds its preferences out of sync with boys and their nature. What do you mean by that?
Well, we're back to the nature, just the how God has designed boys and boys' brains and how they best learn. And you've probably noticed this. I remember a teacher sharing about a student who said, sometimes this young man, I can ask a question and he's super alert. And other times, you ask the teenager the question and he goes, what'd you say? Mm-hmm. And, boys' brains tend to go into this alpha relaxed state a lot easier than girls. This is why you're going to see the boys in the classroom. They're tapping their legs. They're tapping their pencil. They're making all these repetitive movements, trying to keep their brain awake and yet annoying everybody around them. So how do we address this with boys?
It's a good question. You have an answer for it?
Oh, sure. We got lots of great answers. Well, one of the things, if it's been shown that if boys can have what we call mediating object, an object in their hand, whether it's a squeeze ball, that something allows them to move around. Some schools are actually changing, where they're doing more stand-up chairs or these bouncy balls that you set on at the gym. Some classrooms have put those in for chairs. And what we know is if a boy can move around, his attention goes up and so does his grades, for example. Some simple things, but really powerful. In a practical way, as a parent, let's say you've got a young man at home. He's 12, he's 13, he's 14, and you need to have a conversation with him about something important. You've probably noticed if you say, sit down, we're going to have a talk, look at me in the eyes, we're going to talk, and you start off with your lecture, and then after the lecture, we ask our son the question, did you hear what I just said? And of course, the kid goes, yeah, I heard you, and then we ask as the parent, what did I just say? And he goes, I don't know. Because their brain is turned off. And truly, if you take the same situation, go outside, go for a walk, play catch, do something that's more physically active and have a conversation around that, watch what happens in our young man.
Something that has bothered me through the years, we're talking with Dr. Gregory Jance, and he has written a book, Five Keys to Raising Boys. I think one of the more detrimental things that I've seen in our culture, in the sitcoms, it has not been uncommon that the husband is the doofus in the family, and mom is the bright one. And that, everybody kind of jokes at it, and it's accepted. But I think signals like that, Dr. Jance, are the kinds of things that the culture, it's a sitcom, but they start saying, well, that's the way it is in real life.
Mm-hmm.
That guys are stupid and they really don't catch on to things. And the moms, the females, they're the real bright ones. And so as a culture, we've lowered the expectation of what we expect from boys.
That's right.
And how do you counter that as a mom and a dad early on, because these kids are watching these TV programs and they're saying, well, I guess that's what's expected of guys. I'm going to be stupid the rest of my life because that's what the culture says I am.
You know, it's true. And one of the things that happens is that a boy doesn't know how to feel about himself. We're dealing with issues of just confidence. You know, a young man's going to have a relatively fragile self-esteem. The question is, who am I, and where do I fit in? And these are important questions that they're navigating through junior high, high school. And, you know, the boy's brain is developing and growing and maturing and even growing in size up to approximately age 25. And so what we know, there's going to be some differences in how they're developing and growing. And this is why we've got to talk about boys and technology, the overuse of technology, and what that does to the developing boy. But your point is so important because our culture doesn't have really an honoring place for our young men.
You just mentioned something there, and I want you to explain that a little bit more. You say the overuse of technology. What do you mean by that?
Yes, the overuse of technology. Let's say we've got the 10, 11, 12, 13-year-old boy, and, you know, they are driven to technology, absolutely driven. They like a lot of intensity. It's visual. The average age to exposure to pornography on the Internet is age 9 or 10 is what we're seeing. And so we're starting something early on, and we're overstimulating their brain on intense games. They're on their devices 14 hours a day. And an overstimulation of that developing brain can really create later on a depressed brain, a brain that is what we call a craving brain, that brain that wants more and more stimuli. And so I theorize that we are actually probably setting them up for addiction. We're seeing more young men who really are developing the signs of sexual addiction early on in their lives.
Dr. Jantz, this is Abe here again. In your book, you highlight the fact that oftentimes in our culture, we're driving girls to become more proficient in the sciences and in math. But there's this great gulf between our boys and girls when it comes to reading and literature. Could you explain that for our listeners?
Yes. And again, we're back to the issue of the developing brain and capabilities of our boys. Let me just add, you know, last year we had more females graduating from colleges than we had males. So you're seeing some interesting trends.
Yeah.
Did we lose him?
No, I'm here. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. You said we've seen some interesting trends. And similar to the observation you made earlier, that Ed made and that you piggybacked on with the sitcoms and the men looking as doofuses.
Yes.
I've also noticed, and it's not just me. I'm pretty sure a lot of other people have noticed it too, that our culture has kind of gotten away from championing and celebrating manly men. You know, like the in vogue man of the day is the guy who wears skinny pants and, you know, his loafers with no socks, you know,
yeah.
And nothing against the loafers and no socks. But there seems to be just this crisis and a dearth of masculinity. Do you see that? And if you do see that, what are some of the ways you present in five keys to raising boys to combat that?
Oh, yes, we do see that. I appreciate you bringing that out. Because the masculinity is confusing, because one thing is, who are the boys' mentors or role models? Who do they see in the media as somebody they want to esteem to be like? I have two sons. I had asked one of my sons, you know, who do you see out there you'd like to be like? And it's like, I don't think I see anybody. And so one of the things is we've got to have mentors and positive influence in their lives. They've got to have somebody and prayer over them to really show them a positive direction that our culture is not. So we've got to do that a lot of time. I mean, parents are important, but so are mentors for our young men. And so development of masculinity means we're going to talk appropriately about sexuality, about sex. We're going to talk about the temptations that a boy may have, and make those open topics that we can talk about. So often, most will say, I don't ever recall that really being talked about in my home. So we need to change that and make something, because, if the average age of exposure to pornography on the Internet is age 9 or 10, my goodness, we've got to talk about this with our boys and set up systems to help them make good decisions.
Hmm. We live in a culture also, Dr. Jantz, where I think it's, and some people have referred to it, everybody gets a trophy. We can't have failure. But also one of the things that you address in your book is that how do we teach our kids, how do we teach our boys to embrace failure as a way forward, what to learn from failure?
Sure. This is important because we know that handled appropriately, failure is the building blocks of success. And we learn through whatever we're calling as failure. And so boys, you'll notice a lot of times boys have big visions. They like to talk about all the things they're going to do. Boys need a hero. And sometimes, it's like, oh, come on, you're not talking realistically here. And, boys need to dream. And God puts dreams in them, and our boys need big dreams. So that said, we want to support in their purpose and their calling. We can usually see early on, what are the themes that we're seeing in their lives, and support them in their natural God-given giftedness. I know that, most of our young men are going to have 7, 8, 9, 10, just really distinct gifts and talents, and be able to identify those in the lives of your son and support them in really how God designed them. Now, I know, you go, okay, but he's in junior high, I can't tell what's going on. They will make it through that.
On page 39 in your book, you talked a little bit, and you mentioned a moment ago about encouraging his inner hero. And you say, there's a responsibility of parents, there's a responsibility of our churches to use biblical examples as what men should be. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, we have biblical role models, both positive and some downside, too. And so to engage them, and part of what I talk about in our fun little book on the five keys, is helping them analyze what these biblical heroes did, and what were they trying to do. How did God work in their lives? What would you do in a similar situation? There's some great examples. We can talk about David, and we can talk about even Adam. Even the disciples, Peter, Paul, and, just start looking at some of the stories and engage them in the stories. Our young men need the stories to know God uses them, and what God was doing then, he's doing now.
Mm-hmm. You bring up the examples of using biblical examples for boys.
Yes.
Talk a little bit about the role of our Sunday schools, our churches, in overcoming what our culture is trying to do to boys.
I think a lot of times, respectfully, maybe church doesn't know, because we're losing boys as they get older and, college, and this millennial term, we're losing a lot. And so you think about, wow, what reengages them back in the church? Well, you know what? They need a purpose. They need a mission within our church, our churches. They need not only a place to go, but they need a reason. And I think we need to look at what do our young men need. They need something to be passionate about. They need a purpose. They need a mission. One of the things that we help do is what is your son's mission statement for their life? And to begin, what's a life verse? Hmm. And you'll begin to see a life verse. You'll begin to see how that verse may be directing their life as well. So, but I am so excited about the pastors, the youth pastors, those that actively engage our sons and put them in a deeper path or a deeper relationship with Christ. We've got to anchor them in strongly.
Dr. Jantzis, Abe here again. We know, unfortunately, the reality is that we live in a culture where there's an ever-increasing amount of single-parent families, and you have lots of single moms raising young boys. Do you have any advice you would give a single mom who's raising a boy?
Find mentors. Find other males that can speak into that boy's life. And a mentor would be somebody that you would like them to become like or have great influence in their life. It is amazing the role of a mentor in a young man's life. They can have such great influence. And by the way, this is generally a non-family member.
Hmm. Interesting. We've been talking to Dr. Greg Jantz, and the name of the book is Five Keys to Raising Boys. They tell me that you've been on Dr. Phil and Fox and ABC and NBC. Your suggestions, someone could say, are in the conservative line. How do they treat them when you go on these secular talk shows?
Well, we just tell the truth as we see it.
That's all you can do, amen.
You know, as a counselor now, 31 years, we really wanted to speak truth and speak our experience. And anybody who's had boys know that they're different than the girls. And we just have a special heart right now for what's going on for boys in our culture. And we want to raise up strong, godly men.
Five Keys to Raising Boys. Where can folks get your book?
This book should be available about anywhere that's your favorite online. ChristianBook.com, any online retailer as well. You can pay a visit to our website, aplaceofhope.com. aplaceofhope.com.
Yeah,
and let me just say, there's hope for your boy.
Absolutely, absolutely. And as you mentioned, it's a nice, I think you used the phrase, nice little book, and it is. Five Keys to Raising Boys. It's just over 100 pages long. Probably sit down some evening and read through it. It's a great read. Dr. Greg Jantz, thank you so much for being with us today.
You got it. Thank you.
All right. Abe, now I fathered two girls.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I don't have a lot of experience, obviously. Mm-hmm. You've got a couple of boys.
I have two boys.
Yeah.
I do.
Now, are you seeing the difference between the boys and the girls?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. Mm-hmm. No doubt about it. God has made men and women, boys and girls, to be uniquely different.
They have. Yeah.
And it's important to understand that going in so that we can do the best job possible in not just raising them, but making disciples out of the arrows that God has given us for our quivers. So.
Now, how do you and your wife deal with the pressures of culture out there that to go the opposite direction to what I'm sure you want?
Well, one of the things that helps us, as you know, Fred, that we're a homeschooling family.
Mm-hmm.
So we are able to put a bit more, if you will, of a screen around what comes in and what goes out.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a key component. And we've made worship and family devotion such a central part of what we do.
Amen.
That it's kind of built in the psyche of our home, that everything kind of flows out of our relationship with the Lord. So Everything is evaluated from that lens.
That's the focus.
That is the focus in our home.
Abe and Fred sitting in for Tim and Ed today. And Lord willing, we will return tomorrow right here on Today's Issues. You have yourself a good day and tune in for more great programming right here on American Family Radio. Bye for now.